All right, gamers, a new study just came out that might suggest having a bigger brain makes you better at video games. Well, I'm going to find out the truth as I sit down with Alan Boyle, the science editor behind MSNBC.com. So, Alan, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Now, let's get right into what is Cosmic Log?
Well, it's a daily blog at MSNBC.com, and it deals with science and space issues, all sorts of crazy things ranging from dinosaurs to black holes to Mars probes, and sometimes video games as well.
Well, you did bring up video games, and you recently wrote an article called Big Brains for Video Games, which is actually what I want to talk to you about. What was that study based on, and what was the article based on?
Well, it's a study in the journal Cerebral Cortex, and there are researchers who over the years have studied how different functions of the brain are related to the size of features in the brain. And so this team of researchers decided that they wanted to look at how people played video games and whether there was some relationship between size of brain structures and how they did.
So what was the conclusion?
Well, what they did is that they looked at these little structures inside your brain in the striatum, which are linked to functions like reward, if you are really anxious to get a high score on a game, that is the sort of area of the brain that comes into
play. So it's like an emotional part of the brain?
Yeah, okay. It responds to reward and punishment.
Okay.
And then another part of the brain is involved in developing skills. And they thought that there would be a relationship between that and your ability to catch on to a video game. And they were right. They were able to predict how well a person would do on a video game depending on the relative size of those little structures in the brain.
So let's talk about, so how many people were studied?
39 people.
Okay.
There were mostly women, as a matter of fact, and what they did is they took people who said that they had not played video games for the last 2 years. They wanted people who were not as familiar as the veteran gamer with how video games worked. And what they wanted to do is see how quickly they could catch on, because previous studies had found that some people were really good at picking up the skills to play a video game, some people were not so good.
So, but before the 2 years, it didn't take into account if, like, somebody had grown up playing Space Invaders or E.T. or something like that. It was just
that's
2 years.
That's right.
Okay.
That's an issue, and that's something that other researchers have said maybe they should have taken into account, that when you're young, you might play a simple game, Asteroids or whatever, then you develop those structures. Another issue is that there may be other activities that people could do that would build up those structures in the brain.
So we did talk a little bit about the striatum part of the brain being linked to emotions, so that's part of what they studied.
Right.
So is what they're saying is if that part was bigger, you had a better chance of being good at video games?
Right. There are actually structures within the striatum, which is the part of the brain that is below your cerebral cortex. So it's getting into the heart of the brain where all the wiring is. They call it the learning machine.
The learning machine, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the game that they used was created for this study, correct? It wasn't based on any existing video game?
It's actually a game that has been used in a lot of research studies before. In fact, it was specially created for research. It's called Space Fortress.
And what type of game is it?
It's kind of like Asteroids, that you have to take your little spaceship and fire at a fortress without being shot at and without running into mines. It's a little more complex because there are all sorts of other rules that you have to keep in mind, and so that's why they think that it was particularly suited for learning exercises, because you have to think about maybe 5 or 6 things at once.
So just to be clear, it wasn't based on any existing genres, like first-person shooter versus strategy versus puzzle?
No, it's just an old-style arcade-type game, yeah.
Now, I know part of the study also was based around the hippocampus part of the brain, and from what I understand, that has a lot to do with memory.
Yeah.
I would think that the more ability you had for a good memory, the better at gaming you would be, because you'd remember maps and where weapons were and that type of stuff. What happened at the hippocampus?
Well, they wanted to look at all different parts of the striatum to see which made a difference. And the hippocampus, which, as you mentioned, is involved in memory formation, did not play that big of a role. Instead, it was these parts of the brain that are involved in developing skill.
Okay, and you said you've worked on other studies, or you've at least read other studies as far as video games in the brain. What else do you know that you could teach us?
Well, this particular study looked at how your brain might affect how you do on video games. There are other studies that look at how playing video games might affect your brain. And they did find in studies with boys as well as girls who had not played video games previously, that playing those video games tended to develop some parts of the brain. In one study, for example, girls who played video games developed thicker cerebral cortexes, and they think that that is a good thing for girls to do.
Well, what would it mean, so I'm a gamer and I grew up playing games, if I have a thicker cerebral cortex, does that mean?
Right, it means that you could probably have more connections develop in your brain and you'd be able to associate things more quickly. At least that's the theory behind
it. So I'd be smarter, technically.
And you'd be quicker on the draw. I don't know about smarter in terms of quiz show knowledge, but you might be quicker to make those connections.
And what about you personally? You've been around it a lot. I wouldn't say you cover video games, but you know enough about them. What do you think, as a science editor, is the link between your brain and video games? Because a lot of parents are concerned, my kid plays too many games, they're killing their brain cells. Is it in moderation, or what's your belief on it?
Well, one thing about this study is that it looked exclusively at video games and their effect. And so my feeling is that there is a whole range of activities that can build your brain. It could be reading, it could be playing an instrument, it could be music appreciation, or video games. So the types of video games that they study here are kind of puzzle, quick reaction games that really help to build your brain power. There's been quite a movement in recent years to have brain games that help build up your mental capacity, and I think there's definitely something to that. Whether you have to be playing video games for 20 hours a week, you could do that. You could do other activities that exercise your brain, and I think there's definitely something to that.
And we have see a lot of simulations and stuff now, which I guess would be considered video games as far as in the medical field. So you see surgeons working on that type of stuff. If you have a larger striatum, or striatum, is that how you pronounce it? If you have a large striatum, beyond video games, what else would you be better at? Is there any research that goes, hey, if you've got a large striatum, not only would you be better at video games, but you'd make a good surgeon, or yada yada. What are the parallels in like other types of things?
This particular study and most studies have looked at capacity for quick learning. And so it has to do more generally with how quickly you can pick up a complex skill. And so it might not mean that you would be the best brain surgeon in the world, but you might be able to pick up brain surgery more quickly. And that's one of the big things that the researchers wanted to stress, is that it really goes to learning styles. If someone has a particular kind of brain, you might have to take more time to explain to them and let them practice a skill. Other people can pick it up right away. It doesn't mean that one person is smarter than the other. It just means that they have different learning styles.
Sure it does. Because we're looking for a good now excuse, so it's like, hey, you beat me because my striatum is smaller than yours, or
something
like that.
Right, you're going to have to build up your brain, baby.
Exactly. So just for in conclusion on this study, if you have a bigger striatum, you're probably going to be picking up video games quicker than you would if you had a smaller one. That's the link.
That's what they figured out.
All right. Well, you also wrote a book about Pluto, and I'm sort of fascinated by the planets. What is the title of your book? What's it about? And what happened to calling Pluto a planet?
Well, it's called The Case for Pluto. 3 years ago, astronomers got together and they tried to figure out, what are we going to do about all these different planets that we're starting to find, especially on the rim of our own solar system? And so there was a big back and forth, which I get into in the book, and what they came up with was to say, okay, we have this thing called Pluto that's been around for 75 years or so, now we're starting to find other things like it. And because there are all these other things like Pluto at about the same distance, we don't think that that merits being called a planet. Let's call it something else. And they came up with this term called dwarf planet. Now, you'd think that a dwarf planet would still be a type of planet.
Yeah.
But they kind of made a very legalistic decision that you can't consider that one of the planets of the solar system.
So is that official now? Like when kids are in school? Like Pluto's no longer one of the planets, it's considered a dwarf,
Well, the thing in science is that there's nothing really official as in set in stone. It all depends on the data, and it depends on the reality that's reflected. But when a body like the International Astronomical Union speaks out on something like this, the teachers are likely to go along with it. The problem is that when you go along with something like that, you tend to write Pluto off entirely. And that would be a big mistake, because Pluto and other worlds like it are really a fascinating part of the solar system. They're kind of the growth area, the great third zone of the solar system.
Yeah, huge Pluto fan right here.
So,
Alan,
yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you so much. And what is Cosmic Log? What's your URL so people can go find out more?
The easiest way is Cosmic Log, COSMICLOG.com.
All right, looking forward to your other stuff.
You bet, thanks.